Thank you. Yes, I've written in my past life, I've written a few poems, but this is my first poetry reading. And I'm one of those people who read at the open mic last year and then got invited to come and read now. So that's pretty exciting. So I encourage you all to read at the open mic. And actually, then when they invited me, I had to do some more writing. So it was a good thing. So I really appreciate Joan and Chris for all the work that they do on the series. And I mean, it's been like 51 freaking years now this thing has been going on. So most of my poems are about family, but I'm going to start with one that is about an event that we all shared. And it's about something that happened actually to Don, and for anybody here who doesn't know, Don Wentworth is my husband. The title is November 5th, 2024. Our uphill walk, baristas weeping, our coffee bitter, the morning after. And the first of my family poems, the first two are ones that I read at the open mic. The reason they're in the order that they are is just to kind of have them chronological, because I think that might help with understanding a little bit more. So this is called Back Home. After the lines of family and people we didn't know, all black suits and black coats and dresses, after the funeral and crying, after the 10-hour drive from Jamestown, the four of us silent, no singing, we are home. Dad in his study is going through mail, Mom sorting dirty laundry from our hastily packed suitcases. Linda, 14 and 4 years older than me, and I sit on the steps of our wide front porch. There we can breathe. The mid-April spring air is soft and cool. Across our front lawn is Freehold's Main Street and Lincoln Place and houses we know. The deep green leaves of the large maple tree flutter in the breeze. A red convertible filled with loud laughing boys pulls up. The blonde in the front passenger seat calls out, "Is your sister dead?" This next one I wrote in 1989, the year that I moved out here from New Jersey to Pittsburgh, and I wrote this for my dad's birthday that year. It's called Life Gifts to Dad with Love. Last week, I found deer tracks at the water's edge because you have shown me bear and deer and raccoon tracks and where a grouse bathed herself in a swirl of dust and dry leaves in the woods. I spot groundhogs and bunnies in the tall grass of the roadside and spy trout in deep, quiet pools of a stream because your quick, clear eyes have taught me where to look, how to see. I can talk fishing like others talk football, because together we've trolled and spin cast for bass, stilled for perch, and jigged for blues. Feel the tug, set the hook, we'll get the scrapper. I walk and drive confidently in my new city of tangled roads and bridges, because I have seen you take your bearings from three tall pines barely visible in the lake's dense fog. I stand before my class of unconvinced faces without fear, eager for their attention, because I watched you, black-robed, compel the attention of congregations surrounding you. I walk a trail along a ridge and feel the trees' strength calm me. For once, I am patient, now more alert. What do you think of now on your walks alone? Your brothers are crippled, failing. Your tools are hammers, nails, and wood in straight, flat pieces, transformed to houses where grandchildren and imagination can play. My tools are words. I hammer them to fit and nail them to this page, to give you this gift in return for all of your gifts to me. So the rest of these are new. This one is called Linda in the Flowers, and if you remember, I mentioned Linda, my sister, in the first poem. Linda in the Flowers. Outdoors in her flower garden, barefoot, loose sundress, Linda hums and smiles. Monarda, Rudbeckia, Echinacea, Coreopsis, a profusion of pollen. She caresses yellow and red petals, disturbing bees drunk on pollen. Irritated, they sting, one, then another and another. Now dozens of bee stings tighten her throat. Her breath is gone. Flowers sway in the gentle breeze. Yeah, you don't know whether to clap or not for that, right? For something a little bit different, this I wrote after reading a couple of Facebook posts. It's called Otis, and it's for Amy Urban and Bob Pajic. I never met Otis, but when he died, Amy and Bob's tears fell as words on a page. My soul buddy, my shadow and friend, Bob wrote. He had the sweetest, softest growly meow and a slow blink. I made up silly songs about him, and he sang along with me. Otis carried his tail high in the air as he trotted from room to room, the top curled in a way that you could hang him like an ornament on a Christmas tree. His tail was striped, and the white tip flashed every time you said his name. Your words, Bobby. Now a tiny part of Otis is tucked in my heart. And back to some family things. This takes place in Northeast, as in northeast of Erie. The title is Off Kilter. Driving Mom home from her neurologist visit, we both feel relieved, even happy. We turn onto Lake Road and stop, and Mom lets out a small cry. A white van rests on the front lawn. Black skid marks mark its route from the road to the house where the front corner is crushed. The large steel desk that was Dad's, now Mom's, is visible. Stunned, we sit for a moment, anxious and uncertain. In the house, we survey the invading damage. Mom calls Ed Sveda from church. He is quick to come. Heavy plastic over the opening protects us for the night. His wife, Sue, invites us for dinner, but we are tired and want only each other. Later that evening, I recall the doctor's questions to Mom. Have you been forgetful? Is it difficult to focus? Do you have trouble sleeping? Are you eating? Yes, 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 and yes. And these are my answers, too. Dr. Hershkowitz, gorgeous in her white lab coat over a bright red flower dress, diagnoses Mom with depression, and we both feel relief giving this unknown feeling a name. A couple weeks later, I've found a therapist. You're having a major depressive episode, she says, not surprising given the sudden death of your sister. Now Mom and I just have each other. The world has turned upside down, and I must get my bearings. Mom lived up in the Erie area for a couple of more years, and then she came down to Pittsburgh, lived in Squirrel Hill, an apartment for a few months, but it quickly became clear she needed to be in an assisted, she couldn't live on her own, so she moved into assisted living at Canterbury Place, which is in Lawrenceville, and it's just two blocks from where Don and I live. This is called In Canterbury's Solarium. Large wooden rockers lined up facing the wall, Mom in her wheelchair, oxygen cannula helping her breathe, my rocking the only sound. I reach over, our fingers twining. A robin hops, early green thrusts through the ground. And my last poem is one that I wrote quite a while ago, July 2008, Don's birthday. And I came across it recently and realized that it's even more true now than it was then, I think. I don't have a title, but there's an epigraph by Wendell Berry, which is, "Love has to be practiced." We are getting older, you and I have loved you for a long time, but I need many more years together if I'm ever to love you right. Thank you.